Good morning. My name is Thomas Lund, and I am a member of JRUUC. It is good to be together again, to be reminded that our beloved community lives and breathes not only within the walls of our building at the corner of 4th and East Johnson, but beyond as well. This is a virtual space of radical love, and we are so glad you're here. Whatever the color of your skin, what you believe in, where you come from, how you got here, how you identify yourself, who or how you love, or how your body moves through space, we are glad you're here. So come, bring your heart, your hopes, your hands, you are welcome here. We especially welcome all of you who are worshiping with us for the first time. We're glad you're here, and we hope you'll come to our virtual coffee hour after the service for conversation. Just stay on this Zoom meeting to participate. And please visit our website if you would like to learn more about our congregation and Unitarian Universalism. You can find announcements on our website as well as on our Facebook page and through our weekly e-news. Please contact us at office@jruuc.org if you would like to receive our weekly email. Our service today is lay-led by Doug Erickson, Virginia Harrison, and myself. As Madison celebrates Pride this weekend, we will be uplifting the voices of LGBTQ+ Unitarian Universalists from across the country by reading reflections written by them. If you have a joy or sorrow that you would like to share today, please send it to candle@jruuc.org, or type it into the Zoom chat feature. We ask that you do this before the end of the message for all ages, and we will read your joy or sorrow later in the service. We'll be inviting everyone to enable their video at the end of the service so we can see each other. We invite you into this virtual space with music. You may want to gather your home chalice or a candle at this time, so you can light it with us later in the service. Let us move now into our time of worship.
We'll now move to our call to worship, which this morning is by the Reverend Hannah Roberts Villanueva. She's minister of the UU Church of Cheyenne, Wyoming. People sometimes ask, is Pride a protest or a party? And of course, the answer is yes. And why not? Why not rejoice as we resist, dance as we demand change, celebrate as we create community that delights in all of who we are? So bring all of that with you this morning. Bring your policy demands, bring your glitter, bring your Supreme Court broken heart, bring your rainbow socks, bring the emptiness you feel for our siblings gone too soon. Bring your Gloria Estefan remix. Bring your tender hope for change. Bring your most garish eyeshadow. Bring your spirit tattered and battered by a world that seems insistent on choosing fear and hate. Gather up all these things and bring them here to a place where we don't have to shoulder these burdens or celebrate these joys alone. Come, let us worship together. Now please join in singing our opening hymn number 170, We are a gentle, angry people.
I invite everyone to light your chalices at home. Our chalice lighting today is by the writer Laurie Gorgas Hlaban. We light our chalice flame for those who live their lives in closets of shame, for those who furtively visited the bars where nobody knew your name, for the Stonewall Riot and the fierce trans women who fought, for the plague, which still takes far too many too young, too soon. So many gone. So many never lived to see out gay kids singing on TV, out gay people serving in the military, marriage, equality, families formed by intention. We light our chalice flame for all these and for all our siblings of the rainbow surviving, living life out in the open with pride. Please join in our musical response, led today by Everett Trechter.
May the light which is before you nurture and sustain the light within you.
As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places, Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. This morning's wisdom comes from Mattering, a piece adapted by Mark Hicks from words originally written anonymously by a gay high school student. Dr. Hicks is the Angus MacLean Professor of Religious Education and the director of the FOS Collaborative at Meadville Lombard Theological School. My father asked if I am gay. I asked, does it matter? He said, no, not really. I said, yes. He said, get out of my life. I guess it mattered. My friend asked why I talk about race so much. I asked, does it matter? He said, no, not really. I told him, yes. He said, you need to get that chip off your shoulder. I guess it mattered. My neighbor asked why I put that ramp up to my front door. I said, does it matter? He said, no, not really. I told him, because it made my life easier. He said, is there a way to make it less obvious? I guess it mattered. A member of my church asked why I like gospel music. I asked, does it matter? She said, no, not really. I told her that it connects me to my Southern Christian childhood. She said, I think you're in denial about your oppression. I guess it mattered. My God asked me, do you love yourself? I said, does it matter? She said, yes. I said, how can I love myself? I am gay, Latino, disabled, and a Christian in a hostile climate. She said, that is the way I made you. Nothing will ever matter again.
This morning, we center our reflections on the voices of LGBTQ plus Unitarian Universalists from around the country. Virginia Harrison and I will be reading three short pieces that reflect a bit of the diversity and beauty of this community. The first is by Reverend Otto O'Connor, minister of the First Parish in Malden, Massachusetts. He titles this Claiming Our Names. Happy Pride. It feels strange to say that. This moment is anything but happy because of an assault in this country on Black and brown bodies. It has never really ended. The movement for Black lives and what's become known as Pride aren't the same movement, but they certainly aren't separate movements. There have always been queer Black people, no matter how much the white LGBTQ plus movement has pushed them to the fringes and tried to claim it for themselves. I claimed Otto as my name as an adult, a symbol of my identity as a transgender person. I claimed this name to help me think about who I was and how I was going to be in the world. But Otto wouldn't be my name unless a Black trans woman named Marsha P. Johnson and a Latina named Sylvia Rivera responded to police-induced violence at the Stonewall Inn in 1969, two women of color who claimed those names for themselves. It wouldn't be my name if it weren't for Rita Hester, a Black trans woman who was murdered in 1998, and the vigil of her death that led to the annual reading of the names of the dead, our beloved transgender siblings killed by anti-transgender violence, the overwhelming majority of whom are transgender women of color, who often aren't called by their right names in their obituaries or at their funerals. These aren't just names on a list. They're whole lives with hopes and dreams just as our own. We have to say their names. I wouldn't be able to live as I do without these ancestors who lived their queer lives unapologetically. My liberation is tied up in the liberation of Black and Brown lives. These are my siblings being killed. Now is not the time to stay silent. And so I claim responsibility as a white person to speak up, to decenter myself, to accept the ways in which I've gone along with the insidious anti-Blackness in this country. I invite you to name for yourself what your commitments will be, because we need to name them again and again. Name them and don't let them go.
Good morning. I'm Virginia Harrison and a member of this congregation. The next piece is titled Joyfully Surprised, and it's by Adrian Graham, a member of the First Unitarian Church of Baltimore. He is a Black gay man. I spent an entire year brooding over whether and when to come out to my family. I had had a little practice with some close friends in college and later with a few friends from high school. Looking back on the experience now, I can almost laugh at myself, or at least smile. The first few times, I essentially announced, after much beating around the bush, that Adrian is not straight. That was the most direct I had ever been in my entire life. Before we got to that point, one of my friends tried to clue the others in with a metaphor that began something like, "Well, there are apple trees and there are orange trees." In hindsight, watching them try to figure out what the heck she was talking about was hilarious. But at the time, I could not find my laughter. I was consumed with fear, and all I could think was, what if they reject me? In the end, they did not reject me. Sure, there were a few minor bumps here and there, mostly learning experiences for my benefit, but they held me in love and continue to do so to this day. What a blessing. Coming out to my family might have been one of the hardest things I have had to do. We held to our traditional religious values when it came to culture and social concerns. At least that was what I was taught. In the end, I realized that my choice was one of life and death, and I needed to let my secret out in order to continue living and to do so authentically. My friends stuck with me through that entire year of brooding. It was hard and I was scared, and they held me in love. I'm not sure I could have faced the challenge without them. We did it together. Today, I continue to be joyfully surprised by my mere existence, and I am forever grateful to them and ever mindful of how I offer my presence to others.
Our final piece, titled Choice, is by Alex Capitan, a lay community minister, organizer, educator, and editor. Alex is white, identifies as genderqueer, and uses the pronoun Z. I want to talk about choice. I want to talk about the fact that just because someone who is out to destroy you says you choose to be the way you are, does not mean the path of best protection is to counter with, "No, I didn't, it's not a choice, I was born this way and I've always been this way." Is who I am, my sexuality, my gender, a deep and real part of me, close to my soul? Yes. Are there choices involved? Of course there are. I have made one choice after another to feel more at ease, more vibrant, more alive. I chose to change my name. I chose to allow myself to open to the idea that I might be attracted to women. I chose to open myself to the idea that first of all, genderqueer people exist. Second, that I might be one. And third, that I might be attracted to other genderqueer folks. After all of this, I chose to remain open to the idea that I was still attracted to men and might actually like being in a relationship with one. If I hadn't made these choices, I never could have lived into my full, authentic self. And you know, there are some things that are more attractive to me than gender. I am attracted to feminists. I'm attracted to queer people and radicals. I'm attracted to people who are assertive and like to make decisions. Is any of this biologically hardwired into me? Probably not. Is all of it impacted by culture? Definitely. But do I have every right to pursue relationships and experiences with whoever I want because it's my body and my sexuality? Yes. It doesn't matter who I seek intimacy, ecstasy, joy, or camaraderie with. Sexuality is sacred. Love is sacred. And I deserve and demand the right to full control over my body and what I do with it and who I share it with. So if anyone ever tries to invalidate you or the way you seek intimacy by saying, it's just a choice, tell them choice is sacred. Tell them the inherent right of every person to have full authority and agency over choices they make about their lives and their bodies is a spiritual and human imperative. That there is a word for this and it's liberation. That there is nothing more worth fighting for. Tell them that in your faith tradition, we don't love people despite their differences or because they can't help being different. We love people because of their differences and because diversity enriches our world and our communities. Tell them that in the final reckoning, there is only one choice that will be judged, and that's their choice. Tell them you hope they choose love.
This congregation is committed to service to our community, so we give half of the unrestricted Sunday offerings to local organizations whose work furthers our mission. This morning, our Share the Plate donations will go to Justified Anger. Justified Anger is a coalition of leaders, agencies, and employers within and outside of the Black community, developing and implementing a plan of action to address longstanding and harmful racial disparities in the social and economic outcomes in Madison. Donations can be made by typing the link you see on your screen into your web browser. The link will also be shared in chat. In the spirit of love and for the continuing work of this congregation, we will now take the offering. For the gifts received and the gifts which we ourselves are, may we be truly grateful. Yet more than that, may we be committed to using these gifts to make a difference in the world, to increase love and justice, to decrease hatred and oppression, to expand beloved community, to share and to keep sharing as long as ever we can. Amen. As part of building beloved community, this congregation devotes time every Sunday to sharing from our hearts. We lift up your joys and sorrows at this time.
Thank you to all who have shared this morning.
We also symbolically light a candle for all that remains unspoken, that is held in the depths of our hearts. We move now into a few moments of silent reflection where we hold all that has been shared this morning. For the joys shared, we join you in celebration. For the sorrows spoken, we offer our sympathy and our compassion. May the caring of this community bring you loving kindness and hope. And may we remember that even though we aren't together in our sanctuary this morning, we are not alone. I invite you to rise in body and our spirit for our closing hymn, Number 407, we're going to sit at the welcome table.
Know that just like our physical sanctuary, this virtual space through which we now connect is made sacred by our presence and our intention. As we move into the wider world, may we remember that we take with us the power to make that world sacred. May we hold the love, the courage, and the strength that we learn and practice together and do everything we can to move them out into the world, knowing that we have enough, that we are enough. Go in peace, blessed be, and amen.